All right. You have your Bibles. We're going to go to part of our reading for the week in Matthew 22. So if you have your Bible, go to Matthew 22. And really just going to go right through the text and draw from it. I'm going to make my observations as I usually do. I like to do that. You may disagree with me, but for me, it helps me to read it and then to go through it and to make some points of what the text is saying, to highlight things, to even, in the case here, I'm going to essentially interpret what we're reading to make it more applicable, and then we'll go from there. So, good night for this lesson, and maybe in some ways convicting for us, so we'll think about it. All right, what we have here in Matthew 22, Jesus tells the parable of the wedding feast. Parable of the wedding feast, there's a lot of similarities to this and other parables, but we're going to read this, and I think there's some things that are definitely going to stand out for us. So, before we do that, I'll kind of prime us, our minds for this. Why are people too busy for the kingdom of God? Why are they too busy for the kingdom of heaven? Well, you'll notice throughout the Gospel of Matthew, you continue to read kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. And when you go to the parallel text over in Mark and Luke, it says kingdom of God. And I think that's an important thing to understand is what the kingdom of heaven means. And what you'll realize quickly in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, is that kingdom of heaven is not talking about the realm of life beside Christ in heaven. Now, it could, but the most of the times what we're reading here when it says kingdom of heaven, he's referring to the kingdom of heaven as in the kingdom of God, God's kingship and reign. And what we're looking at is God's involvement in our lives in every way. So we're going to look at that a little bit further. And Christ here is going to teach us more about the kingdom of heaven. Let's begin reading that. Matthew 22, 1 through 14, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Just a note here, if you were invited to the wedding, you would have known much ahead of time for this. Weddings in those times, especially for the king, would probably go its full duration, which would be a whole week, 7 days. And yes, it would take time out of your schedule, and so you would have been invited ahead of time and said, this is when it's going to happen. All right, let's keep going. Verse 4, again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. I'm going to stop there again. You think about this. The cattle are prepared. Oxen. This is red meat that has been prepared for a massive crowd of people, for a group of people. And in those days, once you had processed and harvested the cow and harvested the oxen, and you've prepared it to eat, you can't put it away in the freezers. There's nothing to do with it. It's going to go to waste. And all the money and that has been put into this is going to go. So it says here again, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed. All things are ready. Come to the wedding. All right, begin again in verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business, which is probably what you're going to have either way. You're either going to have a business or you're going to have a farm. So they go their own ways. They dismiss the wedding of the king, of his son. Verse 6, and the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. Well, that's a cruel thing to do, to be invited, and that to treat the servants of the king this way. Verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. And so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. Now, all people back then, even the peasants, even the poorest people, would have more than one set of clothing. And the nicer clothing was specifically set aside for events like this. This man did not come prepared. He probably came in like he came in from the field, covered in dirt or whatever his labor was. He was not ready, was not prepared, didn't do what he needed to do. Look at verse 12. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So fascinating there at the end of the parable how Jesus is stressing. You can clearly see that what he's saying here, this parable, this parallel, that's literally what a parable is, a parallel to reality, a spiritual reality that's being conveyed and taught here, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is what we're seeing. And you can see Jesus stressing it there because you would think, wait a minute, if somebody just comes in with the wrong clothing, you could just send them away. But at this point, where is the king's mind? He is furious. He is upset. His servants have been murdered. And so he is very wrathful. And if one other person comes in being disrespectful, how would he react? And so this man could have easily done otherwise. He would have known. He could have looked around and seen what the clothing was. He already knew what was expected of him. He was invited when others, being invited, just put this aside. Didn't care about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven would be our spiritual relationship with God. It's a part of our relationship and our fellowship with Him, that we are in that relationship with Him, that we are under His rule and His leadership, and that we take joy in God. I was reading the passage earlier as we were coming here from John 17, verse 3, where Jesus is praying in His prayer to the Lord there, and he prays there. And in His prayer to the Lord, Jesus prays that people come to know God and to know Christ. And there's no greater thing that we can do. That should be the meaning and purpose of our life. There's no greater joy in that. I think a lot of people are confused with all the things they think there would be joy in this life. You know what I want to know? I want to know more about my Creator and my Heavenly Father. I don't want to draw near to Him. I want to be a part of His kingdom. I want to know His Son. I want to always be in the presence of God. Don't you? That's a wonderful feeling. To know that God is with you, that His Holy Spirit is dwelling and alive within you, giving you strength. All those things are so important. Here are my observations from reading this parable, the parable of the wedding feast that Jesus presented. Again, the parable represents and presents the kingdom of heaven, that status of which we want to be in the presence of God. He is our King, and we want to know Him. Another thing that I see here is those who were first invited to the kingdom did not come. In the context here, and when you look at it, he's talking about rebellious Jews in that time. But it very much applies today. God invites us to the wedding feast of His Son. The wedding of His Son to who? Well, in application to God and to Christ, the bride of Christ is the church. We know that. And He invites people. And He has invited the Jews, and He has invited those who would be faithful to Him. And today, I would assume it would be not just the Jewish people, but those who've grown up in the church, that you're invited. And yet some people still dismiss it and go away, and they leave it, and they forget the kingdom, and it's no longer important to them. But those are the ones who were first invited. They did not come. They found themselves too busy with other things. So that's the second point. God has prepared a feast in His kingdom. Garland says that all the time, talking about a feast. We feast on God's Word. Why? In His kingdom. We're a part of that wedding feast. So God has prepared the feast for His kingdom, the marriage of His Son, yet people are too busy with what? With work, with business to attend. And when you put it in the context of the wedding feast, it makes you think, why? Why would they do that? Why would they involve themselves in other things? And I think about some today who would say, I'm too busy. Or I've been too busy and now I'm tired. Okay? And I understand if you're sick and exhausted and you have a fever, don't come. You probably have something contagious. We understand that. But we're talking about someone who has made themselves exhausted to that point and say, well, I can't come. And then I've heard people say that. Well, I worked 40, 50, 80 hours this week. And I've been working hard to provide for my family. And Sunday, and they'll say about Sunday, Sunday's my day. No, it isn't. It's the Lord's day. And you should have been preparing for that. And you should have known that. And yet a lot of people treat the kingdom of God and dismiss it. Well, I got work and business and all these things going on. Another thing we see here, another observation that I see here, others take advantage to do evil to God's servants, to his messengers. And we see that very clearly in the text. Some people are going to take advantage of the church and those who are faithful, while others are dismissing it and they're needed. And you think about those who are busy, if they would stay committed, what a difference it would have been, an encouragement, and maybe have dissuaded those who would have abused God's own servants. We see this further. God, and in the application there, I think is clear that talking about God's servants is most likely talking about God's messengers and his prophets throughout time, and now it would have been Jesus, who would soon be crucified, and the apostles of Christ as well. But we also see this, that God sent out his troops. In the context of AD 70, it would be God sending the armies of Rome. And this is not the first time that God has used nations of the earth to bring about justice upon wicked people, to destroy those murderers and burn their city, is a reference to the burning of Jerusalem and its destruction in AD 70, as Jesus prophesied would happen. In fact, you can go two chapters ahead to Matthew 24 and begin reading about that. But God invited people, we see here, those who are in the streets and the highways, from those who are outside. We've read other parables like this, to come to the kingdom. And it says, including those bad and good, until that day in which there will be a judgment, of course, would be implied here. And then we read here, the one who is not clothed. And as we study this morning, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 tells us that we put on Christ in baptism. And I cannot find any other reference in the scripture of which we put on Christ and we are properly clothed than in the point of which we are baptized and we become Christians and we're united with him. So when God finds one who is not clothed, trying to have a part and a place in his kingdom and a part of that wedding feast, God will have that person thrown out. They're not clothed. They're not respecting God's commands. They're not following his instructions. And his justice is right. And we can talk a little bit more about that. But as we read those passages there, Matthew 22 is often, these texts, when you actually think about them, are eye-opening and convicting for us, that I need to make sure that my priorities are right. Tonight we're blessed together to come together to look at these scriptures that encourage us and exhort us. Now, I know there are some today, there are some of those preachers out there today who always do self-help and make people feel good about themselves. But you think about how Jesus is preaching here. In many ways, this will be encouraging to some, discouraging to others, in the sense of where they are and what their priorities are and how they think and what they think about God's kingdom. So we need to think about that. There are those who are not here tonight and some that we know where they're at, and some where we don't know where they're at, and they should be here, or they should be here on Sunday morning. We want to think about them, pray for them. We want to have the compassion of God upon them. And we want to make sure that they know that they're invited to be a part of God's kingdom. So I got a few questions as we finish this evening. You ever too busy for the kingdom of God? I'm not just talking about the church and assembling on Sunday morning. I'm talking about 7 days a week. There's no greater priority, no greater meaning for life than to be focused on God's kingdom. You ever too tired from being busy for God's kingdom? Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33. He says, seek first your own business. Seek first the football game that's on. You know, seek first, yeah, you name it. Even family, Jesus says, don't put them above you. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the things that you could be caring about and anxious about, is the Lord says, I'll take care of them. I'll add them to you. All you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6, 33. Another thing we see here, and it's something, a message we got to keep clear, is that many will claim to be of the kingdom of God, and they will turn on God's messengers. You know that. You know there are people today who say, well, I believe in God. But the moment as you as a messenger of God share the gospel with them, they turn on you. You probably have people in your family. You might have past friends who've done that. And I don't doubt that everybody in here knows what that's like. And within that generation of those who do that, God will bring justice upon them. That's what we've seen. That's what we see in the scriptures. So what should we tell people in the marketplaces and the streets? So that's what we're thinking about tonight as far as visitation. And you might have someone in your mind tonight that you're going to go home and call. Or maybe there's somebody you're going to drive to their home and visit with them. Make sure that they're okay. Somebody you might text. Somebody you know needs a good deed done for them. Go do it tonight or make it a priority this week. That's what we're doing here tonight. We want to make sure that as far as gathering together and having our abbreviated time together is that we use the rest of our time to go and do the Lord's work. So what should we tell people in the marketplace? Think about evangelism. And I'm always asking that question. What's the best way to talk to somebody about faith and about God? And I'd like to hear what your thoughts are, what questions you might ask somebody. If you could strike up a conversation with anybody, Walmart or Publix or wherever you might be, what question would you ask? Or what statement would you say? Or would you offer them prayer? Think about those things. Think about what you would say. And do it. I think about these passages here, and I hope that what we study tonight, it really is a reality check of our priority and what we're doing in the church and the fate of those and how people respond to God's kingdom. And as I mentioned before, and we'll finish with this, you cannot be in the kingdom unless you put on the garment of Christ. And you do that by putting on Christ in baptism. Anyone here tonight that has been baptized in the Christ that needs it, you need prayers, you need encouragement, you can have that. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. And we can definitely help you with that tonight. Whatever your needs are, we encourage you to come. Let's sing together.